right, so please put your hands together as we welcome Pastor Onami this morning.
Morning, church. How is everyone? Good. It's always good to see you all. And welcome to all the new people. So, can I just get you to all stand up, please? I know you've been standing for a while. Now, can you just follow what I do? Could you all do this? Thank you. Please take your seats. All right. So I'm Pastor Onami, for those who don't know me. Now, that might have felt really awkward for some people, and some were asking themselves, what's this all about? Aren't we supposed to be in church? What's happening? Now, that apparently is called the power pose. Who felt powerful standing that way? Few people? Yes. Apparently, if you struggle feeling powerful just before you go into a meeting or a function, that's how you stand. You put on the power pose. Some people have no problem with power. In fact, some people feel too powerful. Right? Now, we are starting part two, or this is part two of Encourage. A few weeks ago, we started Encourage part one, and we explored the conversation that went on between the devil and the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that, we learned that the devil is always after our identity. He is also after our mind. He's after our voice. He's after our devotion. He continuously said to the Lord Jesus, "If you are the Son of God." He was always after his authority. We also learned the importance of watching what you're hungry for. Because your hunger is what the enemy will target. The problem is, he will always target your hunger away, not towards, away from the will and purpose of God for your life. So we have to watch what we're hungry for. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just commit this time to you. I thank you, Father, for your people. I thank you for this message. I pray, Lord, as I preach, that what it is you want us to get from this, Lord, may be clear. I pray for our hearts to be receptive. I pray for our ears to be open and our eyes to be open. Thank you for your word. And I pray that your word, Father, your word may permeate our hearts. And may our lives be changed, Father. I pray, Father, for layers of disappointment, layers of wounds, layers of offense, hurts that block the life flow. I pray, Father, that those may slowly be removed this morning and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, this week I attended a training called Women in Leadership. Now, my husband enrolled me in that, which was really good because I wouldn't have done it myself. He's a more confident leader than I am. So I went for the training, and I discovered some things about myself. Number one, I discovered that I'm not as confident as I thought I was. I discovered that I'm not as bold as I thought I was. And I discovered that I don't always ask for what I need. Those were just some of the lessons that I got from the training. I even got some very interesting feedback. This is what the trainer said to me. Because we had to give a presentation. We had to come and stand in front of the group. There's probably about 12 people. You had to stand in front of a group, look confident, feel confident, and you had to talk about your vision board, because we did some vision boards. And she said this to me. She said, "You really surprised me. I thought you would have taken up more room and owned that space." Because we had to get somebody to video us as we did this talk. I felt embarrassed. I felt confused. I didn't quite understand what was happening. And as I sat there when she gave me this feedback, this is what I said to her and the group. I said, I know, I surprised myself too. I said, I think I got triggered. You know, being triggered, definition, it's an intense emotional or physical reaction after encountering a trigger. Now hold that thought. I'll talk about that again a little bit later. Now for some people in the room, you can relate to what I'm talking about. Some people have no idea, but either way, you probably know somebody who has experienced moments like that. I want to explore three questions this morning. Number one, what happens when somebody gets triggered? Number two, what is the problem with being triggered? Number three, what can we do about it? I'm going to read from the book of John, chapter 1 to 10, the NIV. And it says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Verse 10, which is very popular verse, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full. So what happens when somebody is triggered? You know, one of the ways that the enemy steals from the children of God is through unresolved trauma. In my work as a psychologist, a lot of people who come in will come in because of anxiety. They'll come in because of panic. They'll come in because of some behavioral issue, usually children. And that's the presenting issue. But upon further exploration, we usually discover that that's just what's on the surface level. That whatever is happening is actually happening because there is unresolved trauma. And as part of what we call the treatment plan, we go into doing some psychoeducation. So first we do the assessment, and then we do some psychoeducation, and then we start doing some skills training. So as part of the education, we educate around what happens with the fight, flight, freeze response. We educate people around what happens to your body. So when somebody is triggered, they have this physiological response in their body which feels quite uncomfortable, and I'm sure most of us have probably experienced it, where you feel panicky. Now, the reason that happens is because normally if we face a dangerous animal like a lion, a shark, whatever it is you consider dangerous, right, there is a message that's sent to the brain of danger. And when that message is sent to the brain, there's some hormones that are released in the body to get your body ready to either fight or flee or freeze. It's a survival mechanism. The problem is the part of our brain that's responsible for this whole process cannot tell the difference between a real physical threat, like, you know, a dangerous animal, and psychological threat. So what then happens is for some people who have got some things that have happened in the past, their brain will respond the same way to a lion as they would to another person that they feel threatened by. So when people get triggered, and people get triggered by different things, when they get triggered, the whole physiological response happens. So one phrase that is used usually with young people, young men, is that somebody's acting out. And what we know about acting out is on the outside, it looks like, what's wrong with this child? They're misbehaving. But behind all of that usually is that that child is probably being triggered. And you might have seen it with some people that you interact with. We say, that person is very strange. They're very closed off, or they're very aggressive. So there's certain behaviors that you notice. And I'm not saying everybody who is like that has got a trauma background, but I'm explaining that quite often what we see is just surface level. There's something else happening in the background. And that's exactly what happened to me during this this training I went to. I went on to explain to the group that I think I got triggered. And I said many years ago, I had to give an impromptu speech. I had to speak on the spot. And that's exactly what I'd been asked to do in that moment. And from the moment the lady said, you're all going to come up and talk about your vision board. From that moment, I could see my mind thinking, okay, that should be interesting. I'm going to enjoy this. This actually takes me back to years ago when we had to have an So I have this whole conversation going on in my head. And then I started to feel my heartbeat. And I was like, no, this is not happening. This is ridiculous. I speak in front of people all the time. I'm a pastor. There's no way. This conversation just started. And everybody went up and did their talk. And it got closer to me. And by the time it got to me, I was fine. I went up. But I noticed that when I stood on the stage, there was no power in me. There was no authority. I was very laid back. And sometimes that's just part of my personality. But in that moment, the presenter noticed, she said, I thought you would have owned a bit more space. Initially, I was offended. But later on, I thought, she might be onto something. Why was I like that? How did I move from being so confident to stand there and not really own that space? And one of the things that came out from that was that I don't like to appear strong. That was a revelation. It came out from, I don't like to seem powerful or strong. Now, I just want to ask you this question. Can you just raise your hands? Who's seen any giants lately? Just put up your hands. Who's seen any giants lately? One person? Everyone is a giant to Evina. No, I get you. I'm surprised. I was expecting a lot more hands to go up, especially the people who were in the morning meeting, because we spoke about how we are all giants in the spirit. That we don't always feel like it, but we are actually all giants. So when I said, who has seen any giants lately, I expected you to raise up your hands and say, I'm sitting right next to one. Because you are all giants. Not necessarily in the literal sense, but you are giants in the spirit. So, back to my situation. I got to this point where I was wondering, why did I get triggered? And this brings us to answering this next question. What is the problem with being triggered? So I got triggered because it took me back to years back when I had to give an impromptu speech. That one was so bad. This was in Adelaide. I was new in Australia, and I'd never been asked to give an impromptu speech. And I was asked to talk about what you did on Sunday. And I was so excited. I thought, I'm going to talk about church. People are going to come to know Christ. It was very exciting in my head. Until I had to stand in front of the group. By the time I stood in front of the group, my whole system shut down. Whole system got into a state of panic. I had to be removed from the classroom with my eyes closed. That's how bad it was. So this experience triggered that experience. I was able to give this presentation during this week, but there was no power in me because I got triggered. What is the problem with being triggered? Now, when I was about 8 or 9 years old, there was an attack on my grandparents' farm. My grandfather used to get involved in some deals where he would buy cattle from people who did not own cattle. And he knew that they didn't own the cattle because my grandparents were, they were not rich, but they were probably the richest people in the area. Everybody else were the locals. They had nothing. They didn't, so they had no cattle, but they would sell him cattle and he would pay them. So one day, while I was at my grandparents' farm, there was an attack. The owners of the cattle came and they raided the place. And what I remember is my grandmother saying, we should run. And I ran into the house, but on my way to running into the house, now I grew up a very chubby kid. On my way to the into the house, I remember this man, the attacker, saying, look at your children. Look at how fat they are. They're the ones who've eaten my cattle. I still remember that. And I ran in with my grandmother, and we went into the bedroom, and we went under the bed, and we hid there. These men took my grandfather to the back. I don't know what they did to him, but I know that they, one of the things I remember, there's no children in the room, is there? No. One of the things that they did is they took a hose pipe, and they put it around his neck, and they pulled. That's one of the things. I know that he couldn't, something happened to his nerves after that experience. I remember there was a lot of blood after they left. But my grandmother and I hid under the bed. And I remember she told me, I was saying, how long are we going to be under this bed? Can we go out? Can we go? And she said, no, you have to be quiet. So I learned very early on to be quiet. I learned very early on how to hide and silence my voice. I had to be silent to make sure that the attackers did not find us. Many of us are still in hiding because of fear of being attacked, whether it's real or imagined. And so the enemy kills our dreams. When it says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, he does not have to physically kill you. He just has to kill your voice. He just has to silence you. He has to silence your ability to hear God and experience growth. One of the things I've been doing lately is trying to be more disciplined with spending time with God in the mornings. And every single time without fail, I learned something new about myself or about my circumstances. And one of the things that really hit me this week was I always thought my issues with father figures were only to do with my father because he was not in my life. But I discovered that, but wait, there is more. I discovered that there were some wounds connected to my grandfather. It kind of hit me this week that I had not forgiven my grandfather or that I had to forgive my grandfather because of him, because of his actions, I learned to hide and I learned to silence my voice. Now, all of this would not have happened had I not have had that moment at that training where somebody says, I thought you would have owned a bit more space. So what can we do about being triggered? The scripture we just read says that he calls his sheep by name, which means he knows us personally and intimately. It says that his sheep recognize his voice and follow only his voice. It is our responsibility to learn and understand the voice of God. And it's also our responsibility to learn and understand what is not the voice of God. because that determines our focus. When we follow whatever voice comes to us, we lose focus. And when we lose focus, we become ineffective in whatever area of our lives, but in particular as followers of Christ. It says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Our sustenance, what will hold us up, is supplied by him. We are meant to find pasture as we do every through Christ, not any other way. Finally, I want to talk about safe haven. In answer to what can we do about it? When I was 15 years old, I was a deputy head girl, I think, yep. And one of my duties was to supervise the classroom. And I remember sitting in this classroom, watching to see who's making noise. And you had to write their name down, and then you had to give that name to the teacher. So I'm sitting there trying to study, and all of a sudden, I hear a scream. Then I hear desks being pushed. Then I see a stone being thrown at the window. And I had no idea what was going on, but we're actually in the middle of a strike. You see, I didn't read newspapers back then. I have to admit, I don't read them much even now. But there was a strike because a young girl had been killed, and so the students decided they were going to strike. So as I stood there and there was chaos, everyone started running out of the classroom. I remember standing out and looking left and looking right, and I saw my math teacher, and he looked at me to say, "Don't even try to sort this out." And so I grabbed my bag and I ran. I wasn't a very good runner, still not. But I ran. And as I ran, there was chaos everywhere. Kids yelling. There was just this crowd. I remember one girl fell down and people just kept running. And as they kept running, I could only think of one thing. I was not a born-again Christian back then. But I understood that there was a church, that there was a God, and that there was safety in God. So what did I do? I ran straight to the Catholic Church that was right next to our school. I was like, I know I don't feel safe, but I know I will be safe in the church. I'll be safe in the hands of God. And in the midst of confusion and chaos in our lives, we must maintain our focus on Christ. He is our safe haven. He is our place of safe refuge, and he is our security in a time of uncertainty. At a more practical level, there are certain things we can personally do to move towards dealing with our triggers. Number one, we can pray. And when I say we can pray, I don't mean, oh God, can you just help us deal with our triggers? I'm saying we pray and say, Lord, increase my level of awareness around what my personal triggers are. Increase my awareness around what my wounds are, what my psychological and emotional injuries are, what my spiritual injuries are. Secondly, we can seek professional help from someone like a therapist. Claire talked a bit about that. Now, here's the thing with us Christians. We're not very good at seeking help outside of church because we think it's unspiritual. I have the privilege of knowing, understanding both worlds. So I get to share it from that perspective. I get to see both worlds. A lot of us have got issues that we've been praying for year after year. But what we don't understand is it's not just about prayer. It's about prayer, but specifically, God, help me understand who I need to connect with, who is going to help me walk this journey. Some of us need therapists. That's what we need. We can pray and pray and pray, but if you don't seek who you need in order to get somebody to help you move the layers, you've been in the same place year after year after year. So I just want to finish off with this. Let's just close our eyes I've said a lot of things this morning. And I'm not imagining that you're going to remember everything I said. But I ask you this one thing. What triggers you? What person triggers you? What situation triggers you? What memory triggers you? What are you running from? What are you hiding from? What are you scared to explore? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. The answers are in the arms of Christ. He is our safe haven. So I just want to pray. If you would allow yourself, give yourself permission to be courageous. If you just allow yourself to hold on to that power pose. Have that power pose spiritually. Be that giant this morning and stand up and be courageous. If there's any issues that you need prayer for around these areas, please come up so I can pray for you, so we can pray for you as the prayer team. Because God wants to break some things. You may think, this is too hard, this has been going on for so long, but there's layers to be peeled. Your decision to come to the front this morning might just touch on just one layer. Maybe your first layer was touched 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago when you came to Christ. But there's 15 other layers that have to be removed around your triggers, around your trauma. Give God the opportunity this morning by being courageous, by being bold, and come up and get prayed for. And God will carry you through that. So I just get you all to just stand up. And before those people come up for those things, I just want to give people an opportunity to encounter Christ for themselves. Not everybody necessarily has that relationship with Christ. And some of us have had that connection with Christ before, but something, life has happened. And so we have lost that connection. So if you feel like you've lost that connection or you've never known that connection with Christ, you've only ever known to live on survival mode with nobody to depend on, I just want to get people that opportunity to come to know Christ. So I just get everybody to just follow me as I pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life. I thank you for my life. I thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me. Come into my life. Take over. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you've said that prayer for the first time, with every head bowed and every eye closed, can I just see you? Can you just raise your hand? If you've said that for the first time or you said it before, but life's happened, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Can I just get you to come? Just continue being courageous. And I'll just come and pray for you, those two gentlemen. Thank you. Please give them a hand for such a courageous step. Can I get everybody else the issues here? If you need prayer for any of those issues, can I get you to just come up to the front as well so we can pray? And I'll just get the band to continue playing. I'll just say those issues again. Number one, if you want to come out of hiding because you've been hiding from people, hiding from God. That's number one. If you, secondly, need to seek help to uncover layers of wounds, come up for prayer. If you feel like the enemy has stolen from you, he is killed and destroyed, please come up for prayer. Let's just continue to worship, and I'll just pray.